Isn't it strange how 2 hours seem so long when you're at church and so short when you're at a ball game? Isn't it strange how a $20 bill seems like such a large amount at church, but a small amount when you go shopping? Isn't it strange that you can't find a word to say praying, but you have no trouble talking with a friend? Isn't it strange how difficult to read one chapter of the Bible, but how easy to read 100 pages of a popular novel? Isn't it strange how everyone wants front row tickets to concerts or games, but they fight over the back pew in the church? Isn't it strange? Isn't it strange? What Thomas missed, skipping church. Let's look, please, in John chapter 20 and verse 19. The Bible says, in the same day at evening, being the first day of the week. You might want to underscore that little phrase, the first day of the week. When the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. He missed a lot, Thomas did, that first time that Jesus appeared and presented himself before the disciples, these 10 that had gathered. The Bible says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. And you know, the young people were exactly right. Jesus said in John chapter 4 that if you're going to worship God, you'll worship him in spirit and in truth. No man hath seen God at any time, the Bible says. And so to see God in flesh, in the person of Jesus Christ, was a rare blessing and opportunity. Because he was the embodiment of God, and he is the clarification of God in a visible manner, in a visible way, and we'll see him one day. Let's go to him in prayer and ask him to help us as we worship him. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your love. Thank you for these young people as they have sung. Lord Jesus, I pray now that as the Word of God says, that a child shall lead them. Lord, may we follow this childlike faith, not a childish faith, but a childlike faith of obedience, without questioning, without correcting, just simply saying, yes, Lord. Thank you so much for your precious word. Convict us where it's necessary. Challenge us where we need it. And Lord, bless us and encourage our hearts to keep on keeping on for thee. In Jesus' name. Amen. In our little series that we've been doing, Revive Us, O Lord, this would be subtitled, Revive Our Faithfulness. Revive Our Faithfulness. But I like the nickname title, What Thomas Missed, Skipping Church. Faith is believing when I don't see it. Faith is obeying when I don't understand it. Faith is giving when I don't have it. Faith is persisting when I don't feel it. Faith. Forsaking all, I trust him. There are five things I'd like you to see in this passage, in these verses, and beginning in verse number 19, that he missed when he was not with God's people. By the way, jot down this reference in your margin. Hebrews 10:25 says that we're not to be forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. You see, back in the Apostle Paul's day, in the first century church, it was also common for people to think, okay, I've been to church like last week. I don't need to go again. I was just here a few hours ago. I don't need to come back on Sunday night. You know, it was in the evening time that Jesus presented himself before these 10 disciples. He knew what they needed. They did not know what to do. And you know, coming to God's house, opening God's word, praying in the name of Jesus Christ is a great way to start if you're not sure what to do. That's a great place to be. Look in verse number 19, and I'd like you to jot down this thought in your mind. He missed the presence of the Lord. Verse 19 says that they, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them. He stood in the midst of them. He stood right there. Now, folks, I'm not saying that when you come to VCBC, I'm not saying that you're going to see a vision of Jesus Christ. But what you are going to see the body of Christ. You know who the body of Christ is? You are. We all are. We make up the body of Christ. He's the head. He's the one who directs and guides. And he shows his love and his wisdom, his compassion, his caring. He shows it through his people. We are the wind, you might say, that we were talking about this morning. You can see the Lord working through his people. The presence of the Lord. Now, you can be there on live stream, and there's many folks who are sick and ill and would love to be in God's house today, and they absolutely cannot. Then there are some who are just watching because it's more convenient. Let me tell you something. You're not going to, you only get to see what the camera lets you see. You don't get to shake anyone's hand. You might shake your wife's hand. Hey, try that sometime. Try that sometime. Try to shake your wife's hand. See if she'll shake your hand or not. I don't know if she will or not. It would be something wonderful for folks who can be in church, to be in church, to sense the presence of the Lord. Revelation 1, verse 9, the Bible says, I, John, this is the book of Revelation, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos. You know, he was exiled. And the Bible says that he was exiled for the word of God, for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. What day is the Lord's day? Let's try it again. What day is the Lord's day? Sunday. That's right. Sunday. That's the Lord's day. That's the day that he rose from the dead. Mark 16, verse 9, Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene on the first day of the week, on the Lord's day. John 20, 19, we just read that he appeared to the disciples on the Lord's day, on the first day of the week. You see a pattern here? Acts 20, verse 7, and upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them. Say, where do you get this thing about preaching on Sunday? Right from the Bible. We're told to do that. We're told to admonish one another, strengthen one another in his word. He missed the presence of the Lord. At the end of verse 19, he missed, secondly, the peace of the Lord. Do you see that verse 19? Jesus saith unto them, peace be unto you. The doors were locked. No one could get in. They were afraid for their lives. They thought someone would reveal their location, that they would be next. And they'd hang on a cross as well, as they saw Jesus hang there and die. They were trembling. They did not have a lot of faith. After all, who was their faith in? The crucified Lord. They were looking forward to the reigning king and the kingdom of God. And when he showed up in his glorified form, they recognized him, by the way, but I do believe that he had a visage and he had an appearance that they had not seen, except for perhaps on the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter, James, and John may have got a glimpse of that. And when they saw him, you could imagine, oh no! I mean, they're looking at the wall, nothing's there, and all of a sudden, boom, there he is, right inside the wall. You know, if somebody just appeared, you know, beamed right in like Star Trek, you know, what's going on here? He's not held by boundaries. And he said, peace, peace be unto you. John 14, 27 says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. He said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Philippians 4, 7, the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. If you're a Christian, you need to be led of the Lord and seek his will, and you'll hear people say, I don't have peace about this. Or God gave me peace about doing this. That's what the verse is talking about. And let the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, sometimes, hear me please, sometimes God reveals something for us to do, and he does not tell us why. And sometimes it makes more logical sense to us at the moment to do something else. And God says, no, do this. His peace passes understanding. It trumps understanding. It's something that we say, okay, God, if that's what you say, then I'll do it. The peace of God. Knowing that you have God's stamp of approval on it. You know, a lot of people worry. They worry about what decision to make and what's going to happen tomorrow. There was a husband who was really getting on to his wife because she worried and worried all the time. And he was just exasperated with her. And he said, why are you always worrying when it doesn't do any good? She said, it sure does. 90% of the time, the things I worry about never happen. She didn't understand what she said. But it's a true statement. 90% about what a person actually worries about never happens. It never happens. You know what worry does? Worry takes tomorrow's clouds and pulls it over today's sunshine. That's what worry does. It takes tomorrow's clouds and pulls it over today's sunshine. We're to walk in the grace that God has given to us today and to trust him with tomorrow. The peace of God. The presence of the Lord he missed. He missed the peace of the Lord. And third, he missed the praises of the Lord. Look at verse number 20. The Bible says, and when he had so said, peace be unto you, you know, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples what? Glad when they saw the Lord. Glad. Master, the Bible is master of understatement. When it says that they were glad, I mean, woo, praise the Lord. Boy, this is great. And they began putting it all together. The pieces of the puzzle began falling into their mind. The picture that Jesus had prophesied, you know, tear down this temple, I'll build it again. He wasn't talking about the temple. Hey, Peter, remember he said that? He was talking about himself. And it was all coming together in their minds. And they're rejoicing. And they're praising the Lord. They missed that. Listen, folks, it is good. The Bible says that he inhabits, God inhabits the praise of his people, of Israel. It's good to praise the Lord. If you want to sense the closeness of God with you, first of all, do what the children said. Make sure and confess all unrepentant sin between you and your Heavenly Father. Clean hands. That's the first thing that we have to do, okay? But then if you want to sense the closeness of God, begin praising him. Begin thanking him. Begin bragging on him to his face, as it were, in prayer. And you will sense the closeness of God. It'll be as if God just comes up close. You know, that's why he created us, was to bring glory to him. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says it, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. That is why we exist. And we will praise him. Read the book of Revelation. We'll sing things like, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive honor and glory and wisdom and strength. They missed the praises of the Lord. Verse 21, number 4. He missed the promotions of the Lord. Look at verse 21. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. I mean, after all, everything's, you know, whoa, this is great, this is marvelous. Boy, what's next, God? You know, Lord Jesus, what's next? And they thought, yes, we're back on, you know, the kingdom. And they couldn't kill him, and he rose from the dead. Man, we're excited. He said, peace be unto you. Sometimes, listen, please. Sometimes God speaks peace to us. I think this is good. Sometimes God speaks peace to us when we're discouraged and when we're depressed and when we're confused and when we don't know what to do and it seems like the walls are crashing in on us. And he speaks peace to our heart. One preacher said it this way, Jesus did not come to get us out of trouble. Jesus came to get into trouble with us. That's why he came. And sometimes when those trials and those times of testings, we need God's peace. But hear me, please. Sometimes we're on the mountain. Sometimes when we're rejoicing and things are going great and God's just pouring out his blessings, sometimes the Lord has to say, peace be unto you. Settle down now. Settle down. Come on down. Put your feet back on the ground. And he has to bring peace to us. I like to celebrate like the rest of people, you know. I like it when things are good. But both pieces are good and right. And he gave him a promotion. He said, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Hear me, please. He's going back to the Father. He's leaving them. And he said, you are ambassadors of heaven. You are my representatives. He promoted them on the spot, on the field promotion. You know, it could be, I don't know how much is known in the spirit world, okay? And by the way, there is a spirit world, and I'm not talking about, you know, kind of stuff. I'm talking real. You say, well, you really think that there's beings, spiritual beings that are around us? Of course. Just like I believe that there's radio waves around us. Just like I believe that there are video signals going on around us. And if you have something that can catch those signals, you can grab it. Now, our eyes are physical and our eyes are hindered and we don't see all those kinds of things. But according to the book of Daniel, chapter 9, the Bible tells us that Daniel prayed and he asked God to reveal to him his prophecy, and as God dispatched an angel from heaven to tell him a message, to convey the message of that prophecy, that Satan's emissaries and the Satan himself and other demons and all that kind of thing, that there was warfare holding back God's angel from bringing the answer. And the answer was delayed from when he asked it. And when the angel finally, he said, I had to call Michael the archangel. He had to call in support. he called an airstrike. And he told Daniel, he said, from the moment that you prayed, the Father sent me to you. There's stuff going on. There's stuff going on. And in his soldiers, in God's will and in his plan, God chooses people. And God fits them into his plan. For me, I had no idea how God calls young people. Look this way. Look this way. I'm talking to you. You're going to need this. I did not know how God calls people to mission fields, to preach, to full-time Christian service. I had no idea. I'd heard about it, but no one explained it. Truth of the matter is, it's usually kind of different for each person because God made us unique. And so it's not a cookie-cutter type of thing, okay? We're saved by grace, but God knows how to speak to his people. And I was sitting as a ninth grader at a camp, and Dr. Clarence Sexton was preaching, Brother James. And he was preaching, and I don't remember what he preached on. I've told you about this, but God got a hold of my heart as a ninth grader, and God called me to preach. I know that he called me to preach. He didn't say I'd be the best preacher. He didn't say that I'd be notorious and all that kind of thing, and you all put up with a lot from me, and I appreciate your patience, and I thank you for your prayers. But the fact is, I know that I'm doing what God has called me to do. What if I had not been in that place? What if I said, I don't need to go. I don't want to go. I want to stay and play. Say, well, would God have dealt with you later? He might have. He could have. But I could have missed that. So he said to the 10, Thomas wasn't there. He said to the 10, so send I you. Young people, if the doors are open, you need to be in God's house. Moms and dads, you need to be in God's house. You don't know if that might be the time that God will reveal to you what he wants you to do for your life. It'd be terrible to miss that. It'd be terrible to miss that. You say, well, God's omniscient and he's sovereign. He can work all that out. Yes, he can. But he also told us that we're to be obedient. Psalm 75, 6 and 7, for promotion cometh neither from the east nor from the west nor from the south, but God is the judge. God's the judge. Promotions come from the Lord. Number five, last. He missed the provision of the Lord. Verse 22, look at it, please. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye, what? The Holy Ghost. The precious Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost. The Bible says, not by might, not by power, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Zechariah 4, 6. By his Spirit. Let me share something with you. In the Old Testament days, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of God rested upon people for a specific purpose. But that Spirit of God did not indwell that Old Testament believer, that Old Testament saint. It was not indwelt. And that's why in Psalm 51, that's why David could pen these words. He prayed, and Lord, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Because in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God rested upon people for a time. As long as they obeyed and served, and as long as they confessed their failure to him and sacrifice and looking forward to the cross and all that kind of thing, the system that God put in place. But when they chose their own path, as Saul, King Saul did, and so many other kings like him, then he, as it were, he would write Ichabod, so to speak, over them. The Spirit of the Lord hath departed. As a believer in Jesus Christ, our sin debt was paid at Calvary. So the Holy Spirit could then indwell a believer. And that's why after Jesus had ascended to the Father, do you remember? He said to Mary at the tomb, and he said, when he called her name, Mary. And through the tears, she looked up, recognizing his voice. Her eyes were blurred with the tears and did not recognize him, thought he was the gardener. And he said, Mary, this is Mary Magdalene, Mary. She immediately recognized his voice. He said, Master. And you can imagine she tried to perhaps lunge for him. He said, touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. And yet, hours later, the same day, whenever he came and presented himself to these disciples, he showed them his hands and his scars and his side, and he touched, they touched, and he ate fish and ate with them, and he said, touch me, feel me. You can see it in the other Gospels. I'm not a spirit. I have flesh and bone. So in the amount of time, he ascended to the Father, presented his blood upon the mercy seat as the atonement for the sin of all mankind, and he came back. My friend, that's a long trip he made in a very short amount of time. That tells me that we don't have to pack a lunch when we go to heaven. It'll be all right. We'll get there in plenty of time. The provision of the Lord. Let me make a bold statement, may I please? You need the church and what it offers. You need that. Your family needs it. When you go to church to worship, you are proclaiming your faith in a risen Lord. On Sunday morning, we're coming to celebrate and to worship a risen Savior, okay? When you go to church to worship, you are teaching your children the importance of God's house. You're teaching them that. When you go to church to worship, you are building a wall of protection around your heart and your life. The precious Word of God, the blood of Jesus Christ. And when you go to church to worship, you are strengthening your faith and growing in the Lord. But growing grace in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It was in Europe many, many years ago. A nobleman was wondering as he was nearing the fading days of his life. He was wondering what kind of a legacy he would leave. He was curious how people might remember him. And he thought, what can I do so the people will not forget me? so I can have an impact and a legacy. It dawned on him. He said, I'm going to build the village a church. And he did. And he didn't consult with anyone. He didn't show anyone the plans or anything. It was his church he was building, and so he built it. And when it was all done, the people walked in, and they were in amazement. It was beautiful, gorgeous, complete in every way, except they saw no lamps. And someone asked the nobleman, they said, how are we going to light this? Nobleman smiled. He pointed some brackets on the wall, all down both sides and around the back and all around. Pointed brackets on the wall. He said, I have these lamps. And he picked up the first one and he handed it to a family. He said, here, you're going to bring this every time you come to church. And here, you're going to bring this one every time you come to church. And when you come to church, you light your lamp and you hang it on that bracket. And you hang it on the bracket. Wise nobleman. He said, if there are missing lamps, it will hinder this church. Listen, folks, when you are missing in God's house, it does hinder God's church. It does. In fact, every time, and this is a frightful thought, every time that someone decides not to go to their church, they're actually voting to close the doors of the church. What did Thomas miss? Skipping church. Where was he? We don't know where he was. Maybe he was still discouraged. I don't know. But he was vulnerable because he was out amongst us. But he missed the presence of God. He missed the peace of God. He missed the provision and the promotion. He missed everything that he needed in his life. Just make a decision as a Christian. Make a decision that you're going to be in church when the doors are open. When the church service is going on, that just assume that God has a reason for that in your life. You say, well, preacher, honestly, a lot of the time when I come to church, don't take offense, preacher, but you don't really give me too much that I haven't already heard. Well, I don't take offense at that because there's nothing new under the sun. And if you have been under good Bible preaching and Bible teaching and all that kind of thing, then hopefully you have heard most of what I'm going to share at some point. And if I do bring a lot of new stuff, then I would take a microscope and look at it and make sure that I'm saying the right things because I better not deviate from this book. So, preacher, honestly, I don't really think that I have to be here all the time because God knows. I'm not bragging. I just don't really need it. Do you realize that someone needs you? Somebody needs you. Lee Widener, somebody needs you. You know, I need you. Here's a lady that because of a vision and a burden, literally thousands of boys and girls, thousands of boys and girls in West Volusia have received Jesus Christ as their Savior over these past number of years, what, 10, 12, 15, 13 years. 13 years. I don't know that I can teach you anything from God's Word that you haven't already heard, but listen to me, please. You are a blessing to my heart. And I can say that about so many in here, that you are a blessing to my heart, and you matter to God. And even if we can't find all kinds of new things to nourish us, why don't we just gather together in His love, say, Lord, I'm here to worship You, just like the kids said tonight. Oh, I need to thank these kids. They did good. Amen. They helped me. We're here to worship Him. Let's bow our heads together, please. So what is worship? Did you hear the children ask the question? I believe worship is us surrendering our heart to God, showing our love and obedience unto Him, praising His name, waiting at his feet, and just waiting until he gives his peace and we sense his love in our heart. Have you ever experienced that? He's waiting to do that for you in your life, in your heart. That is what will charge you to go throughout this week as you worship him every day, have a heart attitude. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for making me. Help me to serve you. Heavenly Father, we come to you now telling you that you are so good beyond our wildest dreams, and we certainly don't deserve an ounce of it. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying on the cross. Thank you for giving up your glory in heaven, taking on flesh that you created, and living a sinless life because we could not. Thank you for giving us a perfect example. Teach us to worship. Help us not to be in a hurry going through a program. Lord, help us not to even be focused upon a message, a sermon. Lord, may your word from the message point our hearts unto thee. In the stillness of this moment, I would ask this question. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? If not, my friend, why don't you just, with your head bowed and your eyes closed, pray and ask Jesus to save you right now? He loves you. You have no hope of heaven without him. Why not say something like this? Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, and I believe you died on the cross for me. I ask you to come into my heart and my life and save my soul. Lord, take me to heaven when I die. I'm trusting you